Play fake. Beathard sets up deep in the pocket. Goes down the field for Smith. Ah, he got it! Smith! Touchdown! 85 yards! Iowa!
56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Don't miss a thing from the world of college football. Stay right here for College Gridiron on WFUV Sports.
Hello and welcome into the Rose Hill Studio for another episode of College Gridiron, WFUV's premier spot for all things college football. You're listening to Isabella Terracini, Will Zhang, and George Fugatakis on the air today, and Kurt Sipple behind the board. Yes. And so, guys, how are we feeling? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. I'm ready to get this started. I mean, this is a chaotic season. It was a chaotic past week, so I'm excited to jump right in.
Right.
Yeah, same here. Excited week in college football, and I'm excited to break it down.
Right. So let's start off with week 8. Half of the SEC is ranked now. And, I mean, we're really expecting that, like, probably. But it's still a fun little stat that you should, you know, keep in mind. And just jumping right into what happened this past weekend. I mean, that Bama-Tennessee upset was, I mean, pretty important. And the field storming when number 11 Tennessee and Nico Iamaleva brought the life back into Rocky Top with the 24-17 win over number 7 Alabama. Now, Jalen Milroe threw 2 picks and Nico only threw 1. They were both awarded with a touchdown, and Dylan Sampson had 2 touchdowns and a fumble. Now, Bama rushing could not really keep up with the Tennessee rushing offense, with only 75 yards compared to Tennessee's 214. And just a little, some food for thought here, is the last time that Tennessee won at home was 2 years ago, but before that, they hadn't won against Bama since 2006. So give me your thoughts.
I think, well, personally, I was shocked to see Bama lose. I was really high on Bama. I mean, especially after they pulled off that upset against Georgia. I don't know if it was really a big upset, but a few weeks ago when they pulled it off, it just seems like ever since then, they've been on a downhill trend, and it continues here. Jalen Milroe went from a Heisman favorite to throwing 2 picks in a game. There were more picks than passing touchdowns in this game,
which is
quite a stat. Ryan Williams continues to show out, but this game was just turnovers galore. Didn't really look good for either offense.
It was just messy.
Yeah, I mean, the defense has looked okay, but Bama's going to have to find a way to bounce back, because I think, do you know what they're ranked right now? They might have fallen out of the top.
Yeah, they're 15 now. They're 15.
Yep.
So, I mean, what a fall from 1 to 15, and then, I mean, Tennessee, it's a win, but it wasn't pretty enough that it was too much for them. I think this was like, I mean, Tennessee came out of this game in a slightly better position, but it wasn't even like, you would expect that beating Bama would give you, like, a huge boost, but I don't think this does.
But Bama was only number 7 at the time.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah,
right.
It's
in the 10.
No, definitely. It didn't look like it didn't look like the programs that Bama and Tennessee both are.
Right.
It was a game that was not, that didn't really live up to what people were expecting. It was messy. Will, you said it perfectly. It was messy, and it didn't look like anyone was a real title contender after this week.
I agree. I completely agree. And, I mean, just, like, the messy offense and, like, the kind of okay defense just kind of puts into perspective, like, what has the SEC really become with, like, these 2 new additions and all of that. And especially going off of that, Texas was upset by Georgia, and then they started throwing trash, and then they got fined by the SEC for $250,000. So Georgia hands Texas is their first loss in the SEC. And, like, it had to happen at some point. Like, Texas is not just going to walk into the SEC and just go, you know, 15-0. Like, that's not how it works.
I thought that would happen.
Right. Honestly. I mean, as, like, an optimist, you would. But, like, in reality, it's not how that works. But, unfortunately, Quinn Ewers just could not connect with any of his receivers in the end zone. And he could only do it during the third. So, this really poor play call about pass interference was reversed when just these Texas fans just started throwing trash onto the field. And, you know, that leaves the poor cheerleaders and hook them to pick it all up. And it's as they were picking everything up, the officials were like, okay, like, what's going to happen? This is what was playing in my mind. Like, the officials were like, okay, like, we just, like, a ton of trash was just thrown onto the field. Like, should we, like, reverse this call or what? And I think it's probably, like, way more deep than that. But they did. They reversed the call, and this huge fine came out of it. And I don't know if y'all saw this, but Matthew McConaughey even tweeted to, like, the entire student body being like, hey, guys, like, we're better than this. Like, come on, let's pick up the slack. Like, see y'all next time. Whatever, whatever.
Yeah, that game was also not
the prettiest.
No. 7 total turnovers.
Right.
No passing touchdowns by Carson Beck. And just it was again not a 1-5 ranked game like that.
Right.
It was still very, very messy.
Maybe it's just those week 8 jitters. I don't know.
I mean, to go back to your point about Texas joining the SEC, I think on one hand people do forget this was the number 3 ranked team last year. They hung in there with Washington, almost made it to the CFP title game. They beat Alabama earlier in last season before, you know, obviously playoffs rolled around. So this team can definitely hang. I think I alluded to it earlier. I didn't see this coming, that's for sure. With the way Texas has dominated, I know Michigan is not a powerhouse this year, but with the way they dominated Michigan and so many other teams so far, Oklahoma, I mean, same thing with them. They're not the same team as last year. But, I mean, to see them, I mean, I think it was just the Georgia defense. It wasn't that it was Quinn Ewers' fault. I think Quinn Ewers is still a great QB,
absolutely.
But when Georgia's going to land 7 sacks, you're not going to win a game. That's just point blank. And Georgia's off. Okay, I've said so many times on this podcast, and I will say it again, Carson Beck is overrated as hell. 3 picks? Come on. 3 picks? I mean, and people say that, oh my God, he's like comparable to Shedeur Sanders.
No,
dude, I'm not drafting this dude if I'm an NFL team.
Nope.
I'm not drafting him.
Nope.
And trust me, hey, if... I don't think this is going to happen, but if any NFL GM is listening to me right now, listen, you will watch this man enter the league, and you will watch this man be out in 5 years. Mark my words. You can come back to this and thank me later. And then
mark
regarding
this, guys, Wednesday, October 2023, Wednesday, October 23rd on 2024, Will Jing said that, and you better hold him accountable.
PM, right? And then going back to the pick, I don't think it really had anything to do with the fans. I think that's just one where I've heard that it was a non-reviewable call, which makes it a little bit weird. But if you look at it, it clearly wasn't a PI, so to reverse it was the right call. But it's also like, then if it's a non-reversible call, then things get kind of murky.
Right.
So that is something that needs to be mentioned. And then Texas, I mean, 3 fumbles in addition to the 7 sacks they took. I don't care if Carson Beck throws 3 picks. If you do that, you're not winning a game. Carson Beck can throw 5 picks, and you're still not winning the game. And then 2-for-15 on third downs. I think Texas, they have a relatively easy schedule compared to some other SEC teams throughout this year, and especially their remaining schedule, because Georgia was really their one challenge this whole season on their schedule. So as long as they pick it up, they should be all right, but they just need to take this and prepare, because this could very well be a rematch in the SEC title game, and they might face off a third time, who knows, in the CFP.
Right. Do you have anything?
Will really summed it up there perfectly. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
He took the words out of my mouth, and it was a sloppy game. Quinn Ewers, I don't see him as a fraud at all. I still see potential in him. Carson Beck is the biggest fraud. He is a complete fraud. How are you going to, as a number 5 ranked team, not throw a passing touchdown and throw 3 picks?
Right.
There's no excuse. You were held on your back by Trevor Etienne.
I find it hilarious that people think that Jalen Milroe is not going to be a first-round pick, but Carson Beck is. I'm not saying Jalen Milroe is a first-round pick. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But Carson Beck, he's not even close.
He was held on his back by Trevor Etienne that game, offensively. There's no other way to put it.
Simply no. And with that, let's go straight into week 9. Now, for our noon slate, we have number 12, Notre Dame, and number 24, Navy at MetLife in East Rutherford, New Jersey, which is pretty fun. And, you know, you would think that this is a really scary matchup, but this is just, you know, an annual, I don't want to say friendly, but it's, you know, one of those annual games that is just, you know, part of a tradition. And this is actually where I think Navy's schedule does take a turn with the challenges. And facing Notre Dame's defense is going to be probably a huge challenge. The last time that Navy won this matchup was in 2016, and the longest winning streak by any team in any annual college football rivalry is Notre Dame over Navy from 1964 to 2006. 43 years.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. 43 years. And then last year, it was 42-3 Notre Dame over Navy. So who knows where this year might go. Now, Drew Kronick has come into this Navy team and completely turned it around. After last year's 5-7 overall record, they start this year off 6-0, an undefeated team. And Blake Horvath has started the year with double digits passing and rushing touchdowns. While Navy is 95th in rush offense, Notre Dame is staying strong at 19th in rushing offense. And I just have a question. I'm going to pose this question to you. What challenges do you see for both sides of the ball in this game?
I see no challenges for Notre Dame.
No.
And I see every challenge for Navy. That's my plain and simple answer. Notre Dame, yes, they lost to Northern Illinois, and I think that's going to, you know, throughout the season always come back to bite them, especially late, you know, in the season when it comes time to rank teams for playoffs. But Navy is not going to be able to win this game by any means. I don't think it's going to be close. I mean, Notre Dame has showed that they bounced back. They beat Louisville. They beat Stanford, Georgia Tech. I mean, they blew out the last two teams that I named. So, I mean, I think that, yes, they're not in the SEC and the Big Ten competing with teams like Ohio State or whatever, but they're showing that they're pretty freaking capable.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe
that,
despite that,
like you would say,
they're playing mostly ACC teams, but I firmly believe that when it comes time for playoffs, because of the rest of their schedule is easy and they're already ranked number 12, I have a good feeling that this team is probably going to be around 9 or 10.
All right.
Yeah, I don't see the Navy as having any chance of winning this game. Their schedule has been a joke. Charlotte, UAB, Memphis, Temple. Those aren't real challenges. And even that Air Force game, that Air Force
game. Are those
game
even D1 teams?
They are D1, but there's no real challenge there. The last Charlotte is not a real team.
Charlotte was 51-17.
Yeah, that's not a real game. That's almost as bad as what Notre Dame did to Purdue earlier in the year.
Right.
66-7.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, this isn't a real game.
This might push Navy back off the APs.
Oh, definitely.
And sad to see the midshipmen go, but, well, I mean, you know what? Maybe Illinois and Oregon will have another story. Number 20 Illinois goes to Eugene, Oregon to face off the number one in the AP polls at 3:30 on Saturday. And Luke Altmyer and Dylan Gabriel are currently tied for the most passing touchdowns in the Big Ten. And Luke only has one interception, while Dylan has four. And Illinois has barely pulled out a win over Purdue 2 weeks ago in an overtime battle that they won just 50-49, but Oregon rolled right over Purdue, trampling them 35-0. So there's some perspective for you there. And if Illinois wants to win this game, in my opinion, it has to happen on the offensive side of the ball, because I don't think their defense will be able to face up against Oregon's offense.
This is another joke of a game. Illinois stands no chance against what a powerhouse Oregon's been. Oregon's been insane. Dylan Gabriel,
great. Guys, we could all be wrong, and we could have a week full of upsets.
Oh, 100%.
Like, think about that.
At the end of this, we could have pie on our face.
Not this week.
Not this week.
You don't.
You never know what college football.
College football is so up in the air.
Excuse me, but you're talking.
I know. It's a number. It's like number one versus number 20. But like, you still never know.
No, that's not what it's about. Were you guys listening to the last few episodes from last season?
Not last season.
Yeah,
not
I didn't think season. So because I'm essentially the college football prophet. If you listen to all my score predictions from the playoffs and from the championship round, so if I say that this is going to be a cakewalk for Oregon. It's going to be a cakewalk for Oregon. And that's exactly what it's going to be. Oregon's going to solidify their spot as and stay number one. And they're the only shot that anyone has of taking them off of number one, because their remaining schedule is Illinois, Michigan, Maryland, Wisconsin, and Washington. I mean, yeah. Some of those
who is going to take them off their spot?
Some of those might pose challenges to other teams, but none of them are posing any challenges to Oregon. The only chance that anyone has of knocking Oregon out of number one before, you know, playoffs roll in is if Ohio State beats them for the Big Ten title in their rematch, which I think is inevitable. So that's the one chance. Otherwise, Oregon is remaining number one. And if they beat Ohio State in that rematch, which I think is, again, inevitable in the Big Ten title game, they're going to be definitely the CFP title favorites.
Interesting.
I could see Oregon really making a push to win the title. I fully believe that another real team is Miami.
Absolutely.
I love Cam Ward. I love Cam Ward. Cam Ward. Cam Ward is great.
Yeah.
And
underrated, I feel.
Yeah. And I could see Miami really, really giving Oregon a run for their money.
Yeah, I could see that too. I like that answer. But another game that, you know, maybe a joke in some of your eyes, I don't know, maybe this whole week is a joke to y'all. It's kind of not to me. I think college football, like, it really is like a coin toss. Like, anything could happen at any point in time. I mean, Mizzou, number 21 Mizzou at Alabama, at Bryant Denny at 3:30, like, that, you never know. Like, that, I don't know. Bama could be on their downfall right now.
I think, yes, Alabama's kind of falling off, but on the other hand, it is Alabama. It's Jalen Milroe. It is Kalen DeBoer. They have Ryan Williams now. They're going to find a way to pick their act up. I don't think that they're going to lose to Missouri. I mean, if they do, this is not a complete joke of a game, because Missouri was ranked pretty high before they kind of fell a little bit. But I'm going to have to go with Alabama again. You know, just like not on this podcast last week, but I thought they were going to win last week, and I think that they're probably going to win this week. It's going to be a challenge. Missouri's a tough defense to play against, but I think Alabama's Alabama, and they'll figure things out.
Alabama's supposed to win. They haven't been winning.
Yeah.
They haven't been winning the way they were supposed to. So I really see this game as a coin flip.
This game could go anyway.
Yeah, and it's funny because Alabama's kryptonite, Vanderbilt, is playing against Texas too.
Right.
Which is another interesting matchup, because Vandy took down Alabama. I think they could take down anyone.
Okay, I don't think they're taking out Texas, because they took down. Here's the thing about Alabama, right? You mentioned this, Isabella. They're in the middle of a short free fall, a short one, right? Texas, they lost to Georgia. That's
kind of a given. Like,
no, it's not a given.
Yeah.
Texas walked in as the favorites. But right. I'm saying that
if you were going to lose to anybody, it would probably be Georgia. Like, it's
out of anyone on their schedule, yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think that it's the same thing with Alabama as it's going to be for Texas. I think Texas still takes this game. I think this is
I think they take it too, but I still see the possibility of an upset. Definitely.
I guess so, but I consider it less of a toss up than Alabama Missouri.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
And you know what? Let's just get right into that. I feel like we've already started talking about that. But there is a lot of pressure on Texas this week. Like, unreal. And there's probably this huge chip on their shoulder, but an 18-point spread is insane. This is Vanderbilt. I know people don't expect them to be, like, great, like, unreal at college football, but, like, they snuck up on us. They snuck up onto that AP poll, and they're 25 right now. And, I mean, you look at these guys, but I don't know. Diego Pavia can definitely hang. I like that guy. But I do think that this is where Texas would bounce back. But
I see Texas smoking them.
I
see them smoking. I see it as a toss up, but I see Texas absolutely running straight through.
I see it about as like a, I would say Texas wins by about 10 to 16 ish points in that range. I don't think it's a complete blowout, but I think it's convincing enough that we're not so worried about the Longhorns.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is something. Bama had a similar schedule where they faced Georgia and Vandy back-to-back, which is interesting because, like, Texas was just with Georgia.
Maybe history will repeat itself.
Maybe. Like, this is just something. This is just some food for thought.
That is
a little conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and you know what? I love giving y'all food for thought. So here's something else. The last time that these two teams played each other was in 1928, 96 years
ago. And who won?
I don't remember that. I wasn't alive then. But in what ways do you see Texas bouncing back from the Georgia game at home into this game on the road?
I think for sure Steve Sarkisian is going to make sure they clean up their O-line act. I think that, you know, allowing 7 sacks is just absolutely unacceptable. So yeah. I think they'll definitely clean that up. Their defense wasn't hard against Georgia. I think that'll hold up against Vandy. I don't think that's going to be as much of a focus as just making sure the offense is equipped. And I think even they already are equipped. And I think that learning the lessons that they took from getting the rear ends handed to them by Georgia, I think they'll most definitely be ready for Vandy.
Yeah, I really don't see this as a challenge at all. I mentioned this before, but this game isn't really a competition.
Interesting. Would you see number 8 LSU at Kyle Field versus number 14 Texas A&M at 7:30 a challenge?
I love this game. I'm excited for this game.
Okay. Texas A&M
is a favorite by 2.5. And the way that they've been playing, I really see Texas A&M as formidable, even though Mississippi State is a joke. But I see them as formidable. They beat Mizzou, and I really see Texas A&M coming out of this game slightly over LSU.
This is probably the closest important game that there's going to be this week. I think LSU has been, how do I put this? They've been tested more and proven themselves more so far this season. So I guess if I was to be a betting man and I had to put money on someone, I would put it on LSU. But something also tells me that A&M could come out of this game. I had a similar feeling about Texas versus Washington in last year's playoffs, which I alluded to this earlier. If you guys go back and listen to that, I predicted the exact score of that game. So I'm not giving exact score predictions here, but something tells me that A&M can come out of this with a W.
I like that answer, but I do think that Garrett Nussmeier is just the better quarterback out of the two over Connor Wegman because I think that their numbers just don't align, and I do think that Garrett Nussmeier can connect better than Connor. But I will say this, if the Aggies just want a chance, they just have to focus on the film. They have to understand the play routes. And this defense just needs to prove themselves as they can be like withheld and like they can be like good.
I will say this, if A&M does win this game, they are for sure within the top 12. I think that's without question.
Yeah.
They're already 14. They're going to be in that playoff picture if they can manage to knock off LSU, especially because I said earlier, LSU has proven themselves multiple times over in this season. But we've been talking a lot about underdogs. I know we have a super dog segment here, right?
We do. That is soon. But do you think this is a story of an underdog right here? I would see that.
I think it definitely could be.
I think
the numbers say LSU's the underdog. You think LSU's going to win this game?
I think they could. I think this is going to bounce either way. I mean, this is one of those like coin toss games.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I got the Aggies though. I think they'll pull it out. They got to keep the ball on the ground though. That's the thing. Keep running the ball through Le'Veon Moss and.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's how they win this game.
Absolutely, but in order to complete this episode, this show would not be complete without a super dog. And that is a game with a 4.5 spread or higher. So let's go Will and George, and then I'll go. So, Will.
My super dog is Syracuse for this week. I think, listen, you can't understate the fact that they have a former Ohio State quarterback on their team. And I think that this year this team is by no means is it perfect. That's for sure. But I think that they have enough that they can beat a Pittsburgh team that I don't think they've really been tested too much this season. I mean, Cal, UNC, Youngstown State, Cincinnati, West Virginia. Like, these are the teams they're beating, and only Youngstown State was by, I think, yeah.
It was almost 60.
Yeah, and then, oh, they played Kent State. Those two teams were by double digits. All the others were by single digits, so I don't find that too impressive. Syracuse has beaten some better teams this season, and I think that while, yes, this team does show signs of mistakes, I think that they're ready for this moment. I mean, they lost to Stanford by two. I think that's really just a hiccup. But, you know, they beat Georgia Tech. They smashed Holy Cross, beat UNLV when they were ranked. So I'm going to have to go with Syracuse, and I think this is going to be by a decent amount. I don't even think this is going to be that close.
My super dog, my personal team, Georgia Tech. I've been a Georgia Tech fan for a couple of years. There've been some rough years, but I got to side with my boys. They had a rough game against Notre Dame, but they've played pretty well. Lost against Louisville and against Syracuse, but I think if Haynes King can keep it up a little bit, they'll be able to beat the Hokies of Virginia Tech.
I like that. Well, mine is Duke over SMU, and I just think that the SMU defense is not what it should be when their offense is actually that good, so I think that Malik Murphy and Star Thomas will not have that much of an issue to put up points. So, I don't know. Give me the upset here. And that will just about wrap it up for us in the studio. I would personally like to thank Will and George and especially Kurt. And College Gridiron is a production of WFUV Sports.